Welcome to SCOTUScast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker.
Thank you for joining us for this post-argument episode of SCOTUScast, Probable Cause and First Amendment Retaliatory Arrest Claims Edition. I'm your host, Bridget Flaherty. On November 26, 2018, the Supreme Court heard argument in Nieves v. Bartlett, a case considering the merit of retaliatory arrest claims in the presence of probable cause for arrest. In 2014, Russell Bartlett was arrested by two police officers, Sergeant Nieves and Trooper Waite, during an outdoor party that was part of the annual Arctic Man Festival, held in Alaska's Hoodoo Mountains. Bartlett, who appeared intoxicated, approached Trooper Waite, who had been speaking to a minor regarding suspected underage drinking, and loudly demanded that Waite stop. When Trooper Waite pushed Bartlett back to create space between the two men, Nieves, who had observed the contact, ran over and a struggle ensued. The officers subdued and arrested Bartlett, who was later released from detention without injury. Although the state ultimately declined to prosecute Bartlett on charges of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest, the prosecutor indicated his belief in the existence of probable cause for that arrest. Bartlett filed suit against the officers in federal district court, claiming false arrest, excessive force, malicious prosecution, and retaliatory arrest. The district court granted summary judgment to Sergeant Nieves and Trooper Waite on qualified immunity grounds. But the U.S. Court of Appeals reversed that judgment as to the retaliatory arrest claim and remanded the case. Under circuit precedent, the court concluded, an individual has a right to be free from retaliatory police action, even if probable cause existed for the action. The Supreme Court granted the officer's subsequent petition for certiorari, however, to address whether probable cause defeats a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim under the Civil Rights Statute, Title 42 of the United States Code, Section 1983. And now, to discuss the case, we have Lisa Sronin, Executive Director of the State and Local Legal Center.
The issue in Nieves v. Bartlett is whether probable cause defeats a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim. This sounds like a bunch of legal mumble-jumble. In plain English, the question is, what if a police officer has probable cause to arrest someone, but the person claims they were really arrested for engaging in speech protected by the First Amendment? Can they still bring a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim? You cannot make the facts of this case up. The arrest took place at Arctic Man, which is a snowmobile race in Alaska. So think of Burning Man, but with alcohol and not drugs. As Chief Justice Roberts pointed out twice during the oral argument, there are about 10,000 mostly drunk people at this event and only 8 police officers. So here are the facts. Russell Bartlett was attending the event, and for whatever reason, he declined to talk to police officer Nieves, who was patrolling. Bartlett later began yelling at a separate officer, Waite, not to talk to a minor on the premises, and Officer Waite pushed Bartlett away. Officer Nieves, believing Bartlett posed a danger to Officer Waite, arrested him. Officer Nieves said to Bartlett in the process of the arrest, "Bet you wish you would have talked to me now." Now, Bartlett admitted that Officer Nieves had probable cause to arrest him for getting in Officer Waite's face. But Bartlett sued Officer Nieves for violating his First Amendment rights, claiming Officer Nieves really arrested Bartlett for refusing to talk to him. Now, does this case sound like high school or what? So the rule in the Ninth Circuit is a plaintiff can bring a retaliatory arrest claim if the arresting officer had probable cause to arrest him or her. To win, the plaintiff must demonstrate the officer's conduct would chill a person of ordinary firmness from future First Amendment activity, and the evidence that the plaintiff has advanced would enable him or her to ultimately prove that the officer's desire to chill his or her speech was a but-for cause of the arrest. So there's an important background to this case. Last term in Lozman versus City of Riviera Beach, the Supreme Court held 8-1 that Fain Lozman, and only Fain Lozman, can bring a First Amendment retaliatory arrest claim against the City of Riviera Beach. Now, Lozman admitted that the city had probable cause to arrest him, when the city council chair asked him essentially to sit down and shut up after talking about a matter irrelevant to city business during the public comment period, and Lozman refused. But Lozman claimed the city council had adopted a plan to retaliate against him for suing the city council. So having him arrested was that plan of retaliation coming to fruition. So in Lozman, the Supreme Court refused to decide whether in the typical retaliatory arrest claim, probable cause is a bar to bringing a First Amendment challenge. This was because, according to the court, and I quote, Lozman's claim is far afield from the typical retaliatory arrest claim. So in the Lozman case, Lozman was suing the city, not a police officer. And Lozman claimed that the city had adopted a policy of retaliation against him, not that a police officer was making a split-second decision about whether to arrest him. And finally, Lozman was complaining to the government during the public comment period, which Justice Kennedy described as high-value First Amendment speech. So what is the more typical retaliatory arrest claim? Well, Nieves versus Bartlett, of course. The police officer in this case was in a high-stress situation, arresting someone who could legitimately be arrested, but who had also engaged in constitutionally protected speech, here refusing to speak. Now, in terms of black letter law, the main issue in this case is whether the Supreme Court should extend its holding in Hartman versus Moore to retaliatory arrest cases. In Hartman versus Moore, the court held that to bring a retaliatory prosecution claim, a plaintiff must show there was no probable cause to prosecute him or her. Nieves argues Hartman should be extended to bar retaliatory arrest cases where probable cause existed to make the arrest. Nieves claims Hartman should be extended because the court imposed a litigation bar to retaliatory prosecution claims where probable cause exists because causation is complex in retaliatory prosecution cases. Nieves argues that causation is also very complex in retaliatory arrest claims. From Nieves' brief, and I quote, "It is often difficult to discern whether an officer considered the suspect's speech for legitimate reasons, for example, evidence of a threat or illegitimate ones. The charged circumstances of many arrests and the split-second decisions officers are forced to make compound that difficulty." Now, the United States filed an amicus brief supporting Officer Nieves. The brief focused on common law and Hartman versus Moore, and disagreeing with Bartlett's argument that adopting a no probable cause requirement in retaliatory arrest cases would effectively license officers to engage in retaliation by making arrests that are supported by probable cause. Unsurprisingly, Bartlett rejects the argument that Hartman versus Moore was about causal complexity. Instead, he says the case was about safeguarding absolute immunity in prosecutions, which is, of course, not relevant in retaliatory arrests. Bartlett also argues that this case is quite straightforward in terms of causation. Now, as I said, the briefs focus on Hartman versus Moore. But in a case like this one, it will be policy arguments that carry the day. I think it's fair to say that the court, in general, cares deeply about the First Amendment. But the justices are also aware of the fact that police officers have a lot of power. On one hand, the justices don't want officers going around arresting people who engage in First Amendment speech and arresting people they wouldn't otherwise arrest except for their speech. On the other hand, police officers do have to make quick decisions in fast-moving situations, and all arrests involve some amount of speech. Finally, if there's probable cause to arrest someone, should officers really be hailed into court to explain their precise motives? So unsurprisingly, at the oral argument, not one justice brought up Hartman versus Moore. Justice Kagan did discuss it in response to Jeff Wall from the Solicitor General bringing it up. She said she wasn't convinced that Hartman helps Officer Nieves, but that was really the only discussion of the case. So before going into oral argument, I thought Officer Bartlett would win, and that the court would hold that if probable cause exists to arrest, no First Amendment retaliatory arrest claims can be brought. I thought this mostly because we now have five conservative justices who are likely to be more sympathetic to police officers. An oral argument didn't really change my mind. But what I found most interesting about the argument is that Justice Breyer really wanted to find some kind of compromise in this case. But it didn't seem to me that any of the other justices seemed all that interested in also finding a compromise position. So here's how I would categorize the justices. Justices Thomas and Gorsuch were silent. But we know how Justice Thomas will vote on this issue because he dissented in Lozman. So he'll vote in favor of Officer Nieves. Justices Kagan, Ginsburg, and Kavanaugh asked questions of both sides. I found Justice Kagan particularly hard to read, which is not usually the case. And I think Justice Kavanaugh overall favored Officer Nieves. Like I said, Justice Breyer wanted a compromise. The only justice I thought who was clearly sympathetic to Bartlett was Justice Sotomayor. And the justices that were most sympathetic to Officer Nieves were Justices Roberts and Alito. So if you look at the more extreme positions, Justice Sotomayor being very sympathetic of Bartlett, she said, look, these cases are complex, but the legal system is used to dealing with complexity. And she also said, you know, First Amendment rights shouldn't be given less protection under the Constitution, which is what could happen in this case. So Justice Roberts and Justice Alito, again, were the most sympathetic of Officer Nieves. Justice Roberts repeatedly brought up the point that officers have to deal with fast-moving situations. Justice Alito, who is not necessarily known to be particularly funny or ironic during oral argument, did ask Bartlett's lawyer what the value was of Bartlett's speech and basically said, this is just a personal dispute between a police officer and a citizen. I thought the court did a good job of trying to really understand the practical realities in these cases. For example, there was a discussion of, you know, how often do police officers really arrest people for pretextual reasons? For example, like having a Hillary Clinton bumper sticker. Officer Nieves' attorney said, you know, most of these cases don't involve those kind of facts. Justice Kavanaugh, on the other side, pointed out that the Ninth Circuit allows these cases to go forward where arrests were based on probable cause and noted there hasn't been a flood of litigation. But he also noted that the Ninth Circuit has arguably adopted a modified summary judgment to deal with these cases as well. So Justice Breyer, like I said, searched for a compromise and he offered three suggestions. First, he said, what if we say the officer loses if there was objective evidence that the arrest was pretextual? Then he said, what if we say the officer had to know what offense he was arresting for at the time of the arrest? And he brought this up because in Lozman, at the trial, the judge asked the city attorney to go back to the statute book and determine exactly what statute Lozman had violated. And finally, Justice Breyer said, what if we say the officer loses if no reasonable police officer would have made the arrest unless they had a bad motive? And finally, Justice Sotomayor reminded Bartlett of his argument that the court could hold that a plaintiff has to prove probable cause for serious offenses, but not for petty ones. So we can expect a decision in this case by the end of June, but probably we'll get a decision before. So I want to mention one last fun fact about this case. This is actually the third time the Supreme Court has considered this issue. The first time was in 2012. In Reichel versus Howard, Stephen Howards ran into Dick Cheney at a shopping mall and expressed objections to Cheney about the war in Afghanistan. In his exchange with the vice president, Howards touched Cheney. Secret Service asked Howards if he touched the vice president, and he said no. It violates a federal statute to lie to the Secret Service. So Howards was arrested. He claimed he was really arrested, though, for expressing objections to Vice President Cheney about the war, not for lying about touching him. In that case, the court granted the police officers qualified immunity. So we'll see what the court does this third time around on this vexing issue.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers, founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is central to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's FEDSOC.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.